Welcome to the Rebranded Teacher Podcast. My name is Lauren Fulton. I'm a full-time teacher author and seller on Teachers Pay Teachers, and I help other teacher entrepreneurs grow their TPT businesses in a way that's purposeful and sustainable. So if you're looking for actionable step-by-step ways to grow your business, you're in the right place. Let's get started.
We're still going strong with the coaching call series, and I'm so, so excited for you guys to meet Paige Espenjade. She has a really unique story. She's been on TPT for nearly 10 years. She's been on since 2014. She got started back when she was a student teacher, but she really hasn't made the progress that she's wanted to make in her TPT journey because of fear. She's been afraid of being accused of copying or maybe accidentally copying somebody. And she's kind of let that fear keep her from creating the resources that she would love to create and share with the educational community. And I'm so excited to have her here today because I know that this is an unspoken fear that a lot of people have, and there's no reason why you should feel this way. So we're going to talk to Paige about that today. We're going to take a look inside of her store, and we're going to give her some really practical ways to get over that fear, but also to make sure that the resources that she lists sell. All right, let's go ahead and let's meet Paige.
Hey, Paige, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to chat with you today. Start by just telling us a little bit about you and your store, because when I was looking through your survey that we had you fill out, I noticed that you're going on 10 years. Like, you're coming up on a 10-year anniversary on TPT, and it seemed like maybe you stalled out a while back. So talk to me about this. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah. So honestly, I actually started my Teachers Pay Teacher store when I was a student teacher. I was working at a school that one of the fifth grade teachers is actually in upper elementary. She's a pretty big name. And she had a friend who was my co-teacher. And so we kind of were just like talking, and my co-teacher really loved this cute, it was a weather dog that I did. It was my special education placement. And one of my students loved dogs and would only pay attention when you could tie it in a dog. So I went home, I found clip art, I made this adorable little weather dog for him. And she was like, you should just put that on Teachers Pay Teachers. So I did. And I was like, okay, that's great. And ended up, truth be told, it was, you know, a senior in college, and I wasn't necessarily thinking full picture and even really thinking copyright. So right. That actually since has been taken down, specifically because it was a lot of movable pieces and it was a gray area on copyright. So that was part of where my struggles kind of began, just trying to figure out how to be the best I could be with my store. So it started in 2013, and I went into my first year of teaching. And anybody who's been a first year teacher knows how crazy that year is. So I kind of took a little hiatus, but my store just kept making money because, again, that was up there. And I thought to myself, wow, this is really cool. I could really continue to do this. But then life set in. The next year I got married and moved. And of course, that meant moving schools, moving positions. You have another first year teacher year. And so as time went on, I ended up transitioning a few times. I actually was just counting it the other day. I'm hoping this was the final move, but in the past 5 years, I've been at 5 schools.
Wow. Yeah.
So my career has been hectic, to say the least. And once I started trying to focus on being the best teacher I could be in the classroom, I stopped focusing on Teachers Pay Teachers.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I quickly found was kind of like my niche. I really like Christian education. I've tried public school and find that I really like being able to pull my personal faith into education. But so many of the Christian resources are very old school compared to the populations of churches and believers you see now. So once that's what I started focusing on, I also felt like I wasn't pulling in as many people because there's not as much of a market for that.
Yeah.
So my store has been, I wouldn't even say fizzling out, like it's actually steadily grown this past year, but it's not a crazy successful store. Like I get a decent amount for extra spending money, but it's nothing that's anything to write home about, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Okay. So all of this makes sense. And I think that this is in what you just mentioned in terms of putting that first resource up and then later finding out, like in terms of copyright, you know, everything, it's a little bit murky. I think you just described something that a lot of TPT sellers experience. And I know we talk about it. So I don't want to say like nobody talks about it, but very few people just come right out and share and say like, I did it too. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I mean, I did it too. Like I absolutely did it. I had a big name seller have to reach out to me and say, you're using a trademark term, take that down. You know what I mean? And it happens. It's very common because like you said, you're fresh out of school. You didn't really learn anything about copyright, trademark, you know, all of that kind of stuff in terms of creating your own resources. And so it's like a whole new ballgame, a whole new world to learn about. And you don't know what you don't know when you first start. But that kind of, I think, leads into one of the things that you mentioned in your survey when you were talking about what you feel like is your biggest obstacle, and which we'll talk about here in just a second. But first, what are your goals for the coming year? Taking all that into consideration, you've had a very eventful career so far in terms of like all of these moves, all of these fresh starts, like all of that. That's a lot on your plate. Yeah. So when you're looking ahead to 2024, what are you thinking? Like, this is what I want to accomplish in my TPT business. This is what I want things to look like at the end of the year. Like, what are you envision for yourself and for your business in 2024?
So actually, part of the moves that I made in 2019, I left a school and a position that was a private school for public. And actually this year, I not only re-entered back into that school, that same classroom, but also that same position. So I feel like I'm more primed for the Christian education niche than I was because I have so much more of a passion for it. And I also just, I have found some really great ways to actually teach. And then I want to share that with people. I gained a master's with an instructional coaching certification. And so my goals for 2024 are honestly just not only to bring back new Christian resources and actually get back into creating, but to get to that root of how are we going to make education fun? And yeah, how am I going to be able to not only do that, but help other people make education fun with not as much of the headache of how do I implement half of these lessons?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I love that. So your goal for 2024 looks like to you creating more resources, really honing in on your new passion, your newfound passion, and bringing that into the resources that you're creating. And of course, that I'm sure involves like you would like for those things to sell, right? Like it's not like, oh, I just want to create these and have just sort of, I want to actually make some money with these resources because you're spending time, your precious time making them. What do you feel like is the biggest obstacle when it comes to actually following through with that? Like not just creating the resources for you to use in your classroom, but actually getting them listed on TPT, feeling really confident with those listings and bringing in some money.
Truth be told, I am a fear-based person sometimes.
Same.
And I think one of the things that really has gotten me in the past is not only like the copyright, but I've had experiences in the past where, you know, people have maybe questioned where my ideas have come from. And that is just one of those things that once it happens, even if you can defend it, and even if you know that it is such an original idea and you were so stoked about it, somebody who has done something similar and better could so easily try to take that. And it's one of those that because it happened in the past, it's been really hard to get back into something without doing a deep dive rabbit hole on teachers pay teachers. Okay, is there something like this? Is that too similar to what I was thinking? Is somebody going to be able to say that this is something that I took and I took a spin from? Because let's be real, teachers pay teachers is so great that so many educators use it and so many educators have ideas. And it just become like the sticky territory for me that as much as I love making the resources, the fear is what I really just need to get over. I can find the time. I can also talk myself out of the time.
You know? Absolutely. Okay. So let's talk about that because it is hairy. And for sure, like you obviously, rightfully so, like you want to be creating original resources. You don't want to be copying anybody. Like those are things that you don't want to do. And like you are so scared of doing them that it's actually keeping you from doing anything, which we don't want. And I think there are a couple of things that you have to keep in mind first, and I'll show you a little bit. We're going to do a little dive into your store here in just a few minutes, but I'll show you how to do some quick market research to just kind of see does this product already exist on the market? If so, that's fine. I can make another one, but how do I make mine better, right? Because to me, the bigger fear is I'm going to put a resource out there and not only is it already on the market, but it's better than mine. So I've basically just wasted all my time, right? because who's going to want to buy mine if theirs is better? It's okay to have a product on the market that's very similar to somebody else's. That is not to say that it's okay to copy. It's not to say any of that. There's nothing new under the sun. Like, I'm not going to come up with something tomorrow that nobody has ever thought of before, right? Somebody else along the way is going to have the same type of thought. A good example of that is when I was in probably my second year of teaching, I'm starting to like branch out and try new things and feel really excited about teaching itself. And I came up with an idea, and I'm not a Pinterest person. I'm not a blog person. I don't have any clue where I would have seen this anywhere before, but I was like, we're going to do speed dating. And I like paired everybody together and like we rotated, right? And I was so excited about this idea. We were at a professional development. I shared, oh yeah, like I did this speed dating thing. And this lady was like, oh yeah, I saw that on Pinterest a while back. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, somebody else had this idea. And like several other people at the table were like, yeah, I think I saw that too. Right. And they're thinking like, this chick just saw this on Pinterest. Right. And I'm like, no, this was my original idea. Right. And I'm like, new teacher crushed, because I think I've come up with this phenomenal idea. And truly, I had never seen it anywhere before, but there's nothing new under the sun. Like, somebody else had already had that idea too. And it just so happened that there were lots of teachers who had been doing this, and I just didn't know because I was new. And I think that that's something that we just have to look at, and we have to say, okay, but wait a second. The speed dating game with my students was a great idea. It worked. It worked really well in my classroom. And when I went home and looked it up, I was doing things a little bit differently than how teachers traditionally implement that in the classroom. And so when we have an idea that already exists on the market, it's a fresh opportunity for us to look and to say, okay, what am I bringing to the table that's going to make this different or better? And different in terms of maybe more suitable for a specific group of people or a specific group of right. students. So in your case, it may be an idea that's been on the market for use in the secular classroom, but you're bringing it into Christian education. You're putting your own spin on this, and you're making it so that it's going to meet a specific need for a specific group of students. Or it could be that you look at that product and you're like, this is really great, but you know what would make it even better would be if they had opportunities for diversification built into the product itself, right? And so you're kind of taking it to the next level. I've always said, and I have to remind myself of this more than anyone else, is that competition is a good thing, even if somebody's competing with me. And at the end of the day, if I look at something and it's already on the market, that is my opportunity to make something better, or again, to make something different. If somebody competes with me, then that's my cue that I've got to step it up. So whatever I was doing, I got to do it better, right? Competition's a good thing. It's only going to make your business stronger. It's only going to make your business more durable in terms of like weathering the economy and things like that. It's only going to make it better. So kind of having that mindset shift, because I'm an Enneagram 6 as well. I'm extremely motivated by fear. Like, fear is like my primary motivator. I'm afraid of doing anything that's going to make anybody think that I might have been copying them or even building off of their idea, you know, that kind of thing. Extremely worried about that. And at a certain point, I have to step back. And I think you'll be able to identify with this because you're a Christian and you'll know what I'm talking about. But bringing those thoughts captive and just saying, no, that's not reality. That fear that I have is not reality. I'm going to bring that thought captive and I'm going to say, God gave me this idea for this product. I am going to use it and I'm going to create it in a way that is honorable before Him and honorable before others. And if anybody wants to question it, that's between them. Like, I'm just going to leave that to God. Like, just, I'm not even going to worry about it. So taking that and reminding yourself of that and then moving forward, let's take a look at your store. And because we want you to be able to list these resources, list them confidently. So we're going to look a little bit about how to do some market research quickly, because it does not need to be a time consuming, like all consuming task. This doesn't need to be hours and hours of research. Okay. And then the next thing that we're going to do is we're just going to take a look at, once that product is created, How can we make sure we're listing it in a way that's actually going to bring in revenue and make sure that we're getting paid for that time? So what we did is we took a look at your store. We did a little bit of market research together and we talked about a couple of things. The first thing that we talked about was when you're doing that market research to see whether or not a product already exists on the market, you know, like set a timer. Don't make this a really long drawn out process. 30, 45 minutes tops to do a deep dive. And while you're in there doing that deep dive, you should also be able to go ahead and start making notes of additional keywords, search terms that you can use when listing that product later on. So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. We're not just spending 30 to 45 minutes of research looking at other resources to see whether or not that product exists. We're saying like, how can I make mine better? How can I make mine different? And then also when I list this product, what are some additional keywords that I can use to hopefully get found in search? So we're making really good use of that time so it doesn't feel like I'm just wasting my time. And then another thing that we talked about was that once we've done that research, to just let it go. That time, that space in between when you've done the research and you've made the notes on how your product needs to be different, what you're going to do to create a resource that stands out in the market and competes with current resources without copying, then between that time and the time that you upload that resource, we're not going to worry about what happens in between, whether or not somebody has uploaded a new resource since then, right? Because you've done your due diligence. You've not intentionally copied anybody. There's not anything that's going to, like, no one can really accuse you of that. And even if they can, there's not anything they can do about it. Your conscience is clear. We're going to relieve ourselves of the feeling that we need to be God and know everything before we can list that thing. And we're just going to go ahead and we're going to list it. And then we took a look at this, your store itself, the listings itself, because obviously once you've done all that work, you've done the research, you've created the product, you've got it ready to sell. We want it to actually sell. And when we took a look at your store, which if you're listening on to this via podcast, you can check out the audit of her store on YouTube. You'll find a link to that down inside of the show notes. But when we took a look at your store, a couple of things that we mentioned were making sure that you're choosing colors for your branding that allow you to have a bold color on the title of your cover title, because pastels, things like that, that kind of blend into the white, make you have to kind of like stop and squint a little bit to read, make it a little bit harder. So really choosing some nice, big, bold colors to go in or to be a part of your branding palette can be really helpful. And then utilizing those on the covers. The other thing we talked about was utilizing all of your keyword characters and really making sure that you're not just picking a title that's like 4 or 5 words long, that we're using all the keywords that we can so that we're able to show up for multiple different search terms. And that will allow us to get more views inside of the search engine. And then when they do see us, they can read the covers because everything's like big, bold colors on the cover. So everything get you more views, get you more traction. So let's kind of wrap this up. We have a goal of creating a lot of resources in 2024, resources that align with this new passion that you have, with this new brand strategy that you have. And we're getting over the hurdle of listing those things and, you know, with the fear of someone thinking that we're competing with them. And then we've talked about like how you can make some changes to your current listings and to future listings to hopefully help them get some more traction. Tell me, is there anything else moving forward in your business where you're like, okay, I've got this other one little, like, also there's this but?
Honestly, I really don't think so, because I have specific time, you know, I have downtime, and the times that I've went and been like, oh, I have this great idea. I have my list going on my computer, but every time I put my list up, when it's time to actually work on it, it's like, but then I just don't know. Like, I didn't do the research for each one. And so really at this point, as much as I'd love to set like a goal for a monetary amount or honestly, even like an amount of followers on anything, social media, my teachers pay teachers, anything like that, I'm not present enough because I haven't put anything up. And as nice as it is to have the passive income, at this point, my goal just needs to be to get back to it so that I can actually see, now that I have like my set niche, what can I do with it?
I love that. I think that's perfect. Just setting that goal of getting back into it, getting those resources listed, getting over that fear, enjoying what you're creating again, I think that that's going to be a really big deal for you. One other thing that I thought I would mention is I've heard from some sellers in the Christian space that there are some other marketplaces that they'll find traction on. So like Made by Teachers is one. So maybe even just thinking about listing those on other marketplaces as well. Yeah, because it's obviously a little bit more of a niche area, but there's still plenty of Christian educators out there who are looking for incredible resources. So I'm really excited for you. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear back from you mid-2024, end of 2024. You'll have to keep us updated. Where can listeners find you if they want to check out your store and connect with you?
Honestly, everything is labeled as Paging Through Lessons. Just play on my name. So you'll also see Paige Espenshade. I technically have a YouTube channel. Maybe I have two shorts on there because, again, just haven't really gotten into that. Instagram is most of the time where you'll find me. But other than that, just search Paging Through Lessons on Teachers Pay Teachers if you're curious about any of my stuff.
Awesome. And we'll put links to that down inside of the description. Thanks so much for being here, Paige. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for being here, you guys. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to share it with a friend and stick around because we've got a lot more coming. So make sure you subscribe. I will see you right back here next week.
If you want to learn more and grow more with me, then you can find me inside of Rebranded Teacher Academy. Rebranded Teacher Academy is a low-cost monthly membership that gives you access to my entire course and content catalog, from courses for brand new TPT sellers like Selling 101 to more advanced sellers inside of Strategic Growth, Ditch the Overwhelm, a quick start library where you can pick any topic that you would like to learn more about, watch a short video, and then immediately implement what you learned with a corresponding workbook. But what RTA members tend to love most are the monthly challenge and strategy sessions, where every single month I give you step-by-step strategies that you can implement inside of your business in the form of a fun monthly challenge that helps you move your business forward every single month. If you want to learn more about Rebranded Teacher Academy and how you can become a member, you can find more about that down inside of the description. Thanks so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would love if you would share about it on social media and help other TPT sellers find it too. I'll see you right here next week.